This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2019, held in Montgomery, Indiana, on March 1 and 2.
Well, I believe we'll go ahead and get started anyway. I'm Andrew Yoder from Ohio. And I'm assuming there are a number of you that have a lot more experience at being principal or administrator than I do, so this is a little bit backwards here, but I've been principal for 4 years at Zion Christian School, and some of the things I want to share with you, I'm leaning more heavily on the side of role of principal administrator and not as much on responsibilities, because they only gave me 45 minutes, so, but things that I've learned a little bit by trial and a lot by error, and some just by listening to people, and so we'll share that with you today. I want to start with some lessons from a principal, from a president of the United States that I admire. In April 12, 1945. President Franklin D. Roosevelt passed away from a cerebral hemorrhage, and that left his vice president, Harry S. Truman, as president later that day. And so here was President Harry S. Truman, a president who was not voted into office. He was there because he was vice. And he said the next day that he felt like the sun and the moon and the stars and all the planets fell on his shoulders. He was in the middle of towards the end of World War II, with no real definite vision of peace in sight yet. And he had to take this on. And he knew that the president who had just passed away was appreciated much by everybody. And so how was he going to carry that on? He faced all of those challenges with a statement that he had on his desk that said, "The buck stops here," meaning that he won't pass the buck on. He won't blame anybody else. He takes responsibilities for the decisions that he makes and for the situations that he faces. And he had to make the decision about whether or not to drop the atomic bomb. It would destroy many lives. Letting the war continue would destroy many lives. And so he had this impossible decision to make. Thank you. Sorry about making you work to bring that over here.
It's fine.
There we go. And so he had this responsibility weighing on him as to what he's going to do with this war. He didn't shrug it off onto anyone else. He also then faced the challenges of demobilizing and sending millions of soldiers home. Now what are they going to do? How are they going to find jobs? They already were laying off workers because the war effort wasn't needing the materials they thought they were going to need anymore. He also faced the threat of communism, and that spilled over into the Korean War. Towards the end of the Korean War, he had to dismiss General Douglas MacArthur, who was the Pacific general for the Allies in the World War II. Very well, high esteem from the American people. And Douglas MacArthur wanted to attack the Chinese who were supporting the Koreans, and Harry S. Truman wanted to contain the effort. And so, and Douglas MacArthur wouldn't listen, and so he actually dismissed MacArthur and lost a lot of support from the American people because of that. And towards the end of his presidency, Senator Joseph McCarthy was going around accusing people of being communist and communistic actions. And that was a great offense at that time, for sure. And so he was ruining careers by doing that. And at one point he came and he was accusing Harry S. Truman of a lot of things without proof. And Harry S. Truman said, he responded to that, he said, "The best way to disprove a lie is to live the truth." You don't have to go out trying to tell everybody how it really was or what really is the truth. Just live it. So I like to think of that as administrators. We have a lot of responsibility on our shoulders. And so make the buck stop with you and disprove the lies, the things you face, by living the truth and just let it go. I want to define some terms here quickly. What do we mean by principal or administrator? And that changes from school to school a lot. I would say, in my personal opinion, when I think of principal, generally he's the right-hand man of the teachers. He helps them keep their heads above water. He talks to them about how their day is going. He presents the situations that they face at school to the board. And so he works for the teachers in that way. An administrator, on the other hand, I would look at as more of a right-hand man of the board, where he helps the board in decision-making, and then he takes that to the teachers. He would have the principal responsibilities unless someone else is the principal in a larger school setting. But he would be more of a personnel management type of thing, helping with staffing needs, filling staffing needs, and so on. Whereas principal would more not be so much in that, more just assisting the staff that are there. Now, your school may be entirely different from that. That's fine. I'm not here to say what an administrator should do and what a principal should do. I just want so that you know what I'm thinking when I say administrator or when I say principal. But there's a couple of similarities that I want to look at that we'll actually talk about on the role of this person. Whether you call yourself principal or administrator, you're in between a lot of groups of people, okay, functioning as a connecting link between board and staff, students and the board, the church, the community, the parents, all these different groups of people. And you're that link that connects all of those, helps them all come together. That's what your responsibility is, whether or not you're a principal or administrator. So there's a couple similarities. And they're the points that I have on the outline. First off is what your title is really isn't that important. It's that you know what your responsibilities are. And then communicating, maintaining a sound vision, investing in your staff, and then accepting the responsibilities and accusations that come your way. Let's talk about knowing responsibilities. I went to Hebrews 13. Gives us a little bit of a list of things to do in social duties. And that's really what you're doing. As you're working with people, it's learning social interaction. How do you relate to people? How should you approach them? And things like that. And so there's a lot of just really practical things in Hebrews 13. So for knowing what our responsibilities are and doing our responsibilities, I like verse 5 and 6 out of Hebrews 13. Let your conversation, or your living, the way you live life, be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. There's a couple things I want to pull from there. First off, if we're living without covetousness, if we're doing everything we do for the good of our school, because we love the people, because we love the school, then you can't really be blamed. At least not because of accurate things. Do what you do. If you do it out of covetousness, yes, there's a lot of things that can come your way that are true. And then be content with the way things are. That's a difficult one sometimes. Be content with the way things are, with the resources that are available, with the people that you have to deal with the assignments that you have to do. They are there. Be content with them. You can't change them as such. And that is really your job, is to make all those different things work. So learn how to make them work. The Lord is your helper, Remember that. It's not you doing it yourself. Then when it all shakes out, you don't have to worry what people will say. When you're doing it with love, you're doing your responsibilities without covetousness. A couple of simple things. One thing that I've found with being a principal is that there's a lot of gray areas of responsibility. We don't know whose responsibility it is. We kind of know what the teachers are supposed to do, and we kind of know what the board's supposed to do. But everything in between is nobody's job, and so therefore it's your job. And we tend to just pick those things up. As administrator, you kind of take everything that's left behind, that's not done. I mean, it might be shoveling the snow when it happens to snow in front of the front door. So, you know, things like that. So find out what and or who is supposed to do those things. It's not necessarily your responsibility to do them, but it's your responsibility to find somebody that is supposed to do them. And what I found myself doing is often I tend to just pick those up and I just take care of them myself. And then I have a lot of work. And so that brings us to, if you're feeling overwhelmed with the amount of work you have, check with your board. Are you really supposed to be doing all of that? Sometimes us overzealous principals and administrators tend to, at least for myself, I put a lot more work into something sometimes than what my board expected me to put into that. Okay, so basically I made more work for myself. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's not so good. But before you come to your board and say, this is just a lot of work and there is no way, make sure that they're not sitting there thinking, well, yeah, we really didn't ask you to do all that anyway. Okay. And so a lot of times that can happen by picking up these gray areas, these areas that weren't really assigned to anybody. So delegate those sometimes and just find out, do they want me to do all of this or not? Sometimes we have to be willing to take the extra load. Sometimes we have to be willing to let go of the extra load. And just keep your eyes and ears open for feedback. That helps us to know what our responsibilities are. If a lot of times, you know, I hear, well, we really appreciate what you're doing. We like what you're doing. That's great. That's a nice comment to hear. But it really isn't very informative. Okay? People will often tell you what you're doing is great when they might like most of it. They maybe don't like all of it, but they'll tell you they like what you're doing. Okay? And so if they come with a comment of, we like what you're doing, you know, it's great, maybe pull a little bit more on that and it'll help you find out what they expect you to be doing. You know, say, well, thank you. What did you like? And then get them to talk a little bit more about it. So you can hear a little bit more, do they really like everything you're doing, or do they like 90% of what you're doing and they were kind of expecting you to do a little more in this area over here? So just pull from them. Keep your eyes and ears open. Sometimes it comes from very unexpected sources. Learning to communicate has been a huge thing for me. Learning how to communicate with people, get from them what they're trying to say, and then also relay information to them. I like Hebrews 13, 15, 16 for this point. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. 1st point here, it is easy to forget to communicate. I have forgotten many times. I'm waiting for information from somebody and they relay that information to me in a text message or an email or something, and so I say, okay, great, I have what I need, and I never just respond and say, I got it. Things like that are very simple to do, simply to forget. Remember that you're the connecting link between all these different groups, staff, board, students, parents, and so on. And so you have a lot of information feeds coming in from all these different sides telling you what you need to know. But remember that your staff don't necessarily know everything that you heard on the board's decision. And so you need to relay that information on to the staff. The students don't necessarily have all those information feeds that you do. So you need to relay that information on. You need to send that information out to where it needs to go so that everybody else knows what they need to know. So don't forget that that is your job. And in communicate, let people hear you blessing God and them. If the sacrifice of praise to God is continually coming out of what you are saying and doing, it will go over so much better. If I'm fussing about the way things are, or whatever it might be, if I'm wishing somebody would just really take up the baton and work and move, you know, but if I am blessing them and they hear me being thankful for, you know, that teacher that I'm trying to work with, you know, if they can hear me in this discussion that we're having about the struggle they're facing or whatever, if they can hear me just blessing them and saying, thank you for everything you do here, I really appreciate your work, it will go a long way when blessing is coming out of our mouth rather than cursing. And then remember how life-giving words of affirmation are. Words of affirmation, simply just blessing people, telling them what you appreciate about what they're doing. And don't save them for when you need to tell somebody to do something differently. You know, but by the way, we really do like what you're doing, but you know, don't save them for those situations. Just give them freely words of affirmation. And then manage your expectations in communicating. This is one that I've had to learn the hard way, I think. Managing expectations. They say that the worst problem with communicating is assuming that it happened. The worst problem with communicating is assuming that it happened. At work, I'm not teaching this year, but at work where I'm employed, we have this little, almost kind of a joke, not really a joke, but that we, when somebody gives us information or tells us what they did or whatever, we trust but verify. Okay, we trust that they're, you know, yeah, they did it, they took care of it, it's okay. But when you're working on $200,000+ worth of pieces of equipment, getting them ready for customers, you know, if a hose comes off because somebody just overlooked tightening it as they're driving it away, they really don't like that. You know, and so sometimes, yes, I believe them that they did the responsibility, but it's my responsibility, if I'm overseeing this project, it's my responsibility to make sure that I understood what he's trying to say and that, you know, that it was correct. So I'm not verifying that he was telling the truth, okay? I'm just verifying that I understood correctly, if that makes sense. So to assume that communication happened is often the worst problem. So make sure, it doesn't matter how clear you think you were, you probably weren't as clear as you thought. And then there's the other side of assumptions and expectations as we go into communication, and that is assuming what the other person is going to think about this. Assuming what their answer is going to be. Sometimes I can have these conversations in the shower with so-and-so that I would really like to give them a piece of my mind. And so it's good to do it in the shower if you have to do it, but it's probably best not even to do it at all. But we build these cases that we assume somebody has on this situation. And then when we actually sit down and talk about it, we have this whole pre-assumed case on how this is going to go and what they're going to say and what I'm going to say. And that breaks down communication dreadfully. So manage your expectations. Be willing and open to communicate and to work with the situation. To different groups of people, with students, to communicate with students, number one thing is to listen to them. Hear what they have to say about school, about their pet, about anything else. You know, and remember that your job as the principal or administrator of the school is to bring the whole school together. Okay? Teachers are responsible for their individual classrooms, but you have a responsibility for the whole school. So if you have a whole school activity, maybe it's an auction or a school where you're working together, the picnic or the program or whatever it is, let them know that they have an important part in this big thing that's going on, that you need them. Their little responsibility they have, talk to them about it, because if that's coming from the principal who is over in charge of all of this, instead of just their teacher, he paid attention, he saw what I need to do here, and he saw how I did it. It makes a big difference to them. They feel like, you know, if you notice how they sang in this whole group of however many students there are, and that you liked how they sang and put their voice out, they'll know that you saw that. And they'll appreciate you for that. They'll think it's a big thing that you paid attention. Greet them with joy and expectation. You maybe can't say good morning to every single student, depending how big your school is. But the ones that you are able to do it, at least greet them with joy and an expectation that today is going to be a good day and that I like that you're here. And you appreciate them. With teachers, again, number one thing, listen to them. Listen to what they have to say about their day. Remember that posture is very important. And physical posture, but also posture of mind, how you come to them. But I've had different times where I'm sitting at my desk checking or doing studying, and a teacher comes in, and I can tell by the way they come in that the day was either great or it was not great or it was somewhere in between. Okay, and you can just feel that about right away. And so I like to say, hey, what's up? Sit down. And I'll lay my pen down, my phone down, even close my books sometimes, push my chair back away from the desk, and I'll just sit back and say, so what happened today? And just giving them a posture that I am willing to give you a lot of time for this, whatever it was, this issue. Because if you're sitting there, and you're saying, yeah, what was it? And then you kind of, as they're talking, you know, get the next one. And get the next one as, yeah, you know. They know that they are really taking your time up, and this is kind of a pain. But if you sit back, give them their full expectation, that means more than just, you know, we'll help this out. That means you believe that they have something worthwhile to listen to. And when they know that you believe in them enough to push your things aside and listen, they'll work three times as hard for you to help work through those issues. If they don't come to you, some teachers like to talk about their day and others think that nobody else faces things like this and they all just have such wonderfully controlled classrooms and so if I don't, I'm a little different and so I just won't bring this up. If they don't come to you, it is your job to go to them and to find out how it is going. And that's one of the reasons I have this thing on the back. I've heard of teachers or administrators, principals, having their teachers fill out little weekly reports as to how my week went and what I liked about and didn't like. So on the back of your handout, I have this. And sometimes writing down things, people are like, well, I don't know how to write it. And so I went to, and these are very easy to produce. You may copy this if you wish. I don't care. But I would rather that you make your own that fits you. But I just went to, on Word, and I went to insert, and I clicked the icons, and I just scrolled through for icons that I like. I mean, you can use emojis, you can whatever you want. But my week was, you know, circle one. And you don't have to know what the smiley face means. Like, what does the second face mean? Well, I don't know, but I feel like that, okay? And it simply is a way to open the door, okay? You know, and the atmosphere in my room was, you know, going downhill or all week, or it started out at the bottom and now it's going better, and or maybe it was very high strung. I mean, they were just revved up. Or we had a light bulb week. I mean, so-and-so really caught on. Or it was just puzzling all, you know, whatever. My question for the week. Einstein said that when he was faced with something he couldn't figure out, he would pace the room and he'd say, what's the question that I need to ask here? Okay. And I think sometimes helping our teachers think about, so this is the week we had, what's the question that I need to ask with this week? And then I feel like I just want to go home and sleep, or I need a doctor, or I'd like to handcuff somebody and never let them come back again. You know, or maybe you have people who like fishing, or maybe you feel like a hamster running in a cage and spinning your wheels all week, or your battery's low, or you just need some coffee, or whatever. But it's just to open the door for some communication. You know, if you give one of these to each of your teachers, you know, more likely than not, they'll want to know how the other people filled it out. Okay? And so then that opens the door to communicate. Communicating with the board. And again, number one thing, listen to them. Take time to understand more than to be understood. I know for me, so often I just want to make sure that that my point is clear, how I'm trying to come across here. But more importantly than that, make sure you understand how they're trying to come across and what they're saying. Every board is different. Some boards like if you deliberate on all the details of the specific incident that you're trying to relate. Other boards just want the basic information and leave it at that. Don't waste the whole meeting with this big, long deliberation of details. So you know them, and give your report in a way that they like it, because it will be received better when it comes in the format that they like, whether very detailed or not so detailed. One thing that I've learned the hard way is if you have a wonderful idea or a wonderful solution to this problem, run it by your board chairman first. Okay? If he is not on board with this idea when you run it by him first, then you don't have to waste everybody's time at the meeting. Okay? If he is on target with you on this idea and says, yeah, let's take that to the board meeting, I think that would be let's present that to the rest of the guys and see what they say. Well, then, when you present it at the board meeting, and you know how it is, let's say your children come and they ask you for something, and you automatically are like, well, okay, wait a minute here. What does this mean? What will happen down the road? And then you want to figure all of that out. Well, that's the same way the board looks at you when you come with a new idea. And so if you have the chairman who doesn't have to sit there and say, now, wait a minute, how is this going to pan out? He already knows what you're saying, and he has had time to think about it. As the rest of the board looks to him for some direction on what does he think about this, he'll have already thought about it, he'll know what he's going to say or do, and so they will get the vibes off of him that they think this is an okay thing to consider. Whereas if he's there, not quite sure, wait, let us think about this, they're also going to be not quite sure, wait, let's think about this. And so it gives you an in into presenting what you have. And like I said, if he's not on target with it, well then, you might as well just drop it there and go back to the drawing board instead of wasting everyone's time. Remember that at the end of the day, you do it the board's way. You're working for the board, and so when it all shakes out, you do it the board's way. We usually, at least I do, I get so hung up on, well, who's right? What's the right way? And the bottom line is that it really doesn't matter. If we humbly do our part, and I do what I can to make things work the way the board wants it to make, it doesn't really matter which one was right. When I am willing to do those things for such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So, communicate with them. Do your part at the end of the day. Do it the board's way. With parents, again, as you might expect, the first point, number one thing is to, what? Listen to them, okay? Listen to them again. Remember that God put them, it was brought out in the devotions, God put them in charge of being the responsibility of teaching their children. And you are working for them, maybe under the board, but you're still ultimately, you're working for the parents. And so listen to what they have to say about their children. Be creative when you're needing solutions for things. One way that I've found to effectively close the door for communication on with parents and what to do about their child's need, is to throw out a lot of suggestions before you hear from them. Okay. I have found very rarely is the case that when you say, well, so-and-so, we're having this issue with so-and-so at school, and they'll say, well, yeah, that we have the same thing at home, I'm not surprised. Then say, well, what do you do about it at home? Okay. And you open the door for them to communicate first, and then you say, these were some ideas that I had. And you let them speak, because they are ultimately in charge of their students' education. Another thing is always run major things by them first. Even if you don't need to ask for their permission or anything like that, just let them know what's going on. That way the student doesn't come home saying, well, today Mr. So-and-so said that I'm going to need to do this now. Okay? And they're wondering, whoa, what's up? So just run things by them, just for information's sake. Remember, don't forget to communicate those things. And communicating with church leaders and the church. Again, listen to your church people. Listen to what they have to say about school and what they think school should be, and even if they're not even involved. The way to listen to them is let them know what's happening. If you only have a little tidbit about what's happening at church, you only have a little tidbit about what's happening in school right before the offering, as everybody gets ready to have offering, that's not enough to let them know what's happening in school. So find ways to do more than that. Maybe you could have students do things in church, like speech, have them have devotions so that somebody says, yeah, they're doing that in school, and now we're going to have them have speeches here at church, have devotions. Have a newsletter. Just talk to people after church about it. I know as an administrator or principal, you can really feel like you're kind of the odd one in church. Nobody really knows what you're going through. And that is true, but don't hold it up then. Let them know what you're going through, at least as much as is proper. Leading with church leaders, make some specific times to relay information to them. They are ultimately invested in the school because it's part of the church. So they want to know what you're doing in school that will help them. And will affect them in their church leadership. So let them know what's happening. Make a time for that to happen. Maybe monthly, maybe whatever, maybe once a year, whatever. But let them know what's happening. The heartbeat of the school is part of their heartbeat. So they need to have an inside track on what's happening. Another one of your responsibilities is to keep a sound vision. Maintain a sound vision. As people look at the school, you're kind of the face out front as being in charge. You're not really actually in charge of the school, the board is, but you're the face that people think of when they think of the person in charge of school. And so they're the one that they look to you for vision. Hebrews 13, 8 and 9. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, for which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Keep your vision being about Jesus Christ. He never changes. Your vision should not change. It should grow, but it should not be going after. You know what? They're doing this thing over here now. I think that would be a good thing to do. Let's go over there. And then a year later, well, now they're doing this over here. Maybe we should try that and promote that. Be willing to let your vision grow and let it grow out of a love for the people. If your vision is growing out of a love for appreciation or for having good programs or having the top students, that our students are better in academics than the public school, and so therefore we're doing a good job, it's not going to work for you. That's a bad vision. But let it grow out of a love for the people and a desire to serve the kingdom of God and to serve the parents there. If it isn't established with grace and love in your heart, then it won't work. The Bible tells us a lot about how to deal with people. So stand on truth. Stand on what Jesus is the master teacher, so on. Stand on that. and he taught us how to deal with people. So go there for your vision. There's the quote, "Vision is giving the future our immediate attention." So when you think of your school, when you think of your responsibilities, what you have to do, give the future your immediate attention. See your students and your staff as years down the road. I remember talking with a teacher who had taught for many years, and he said he had to sit down with a parent to discuss what to do with his child because he was having struggles there. And he said, "I had to think about how I treated that parent when he was in my classroom." And so see your students as someday you might have to sit down with them and discuss their children, and they'll think about what you did to me when I was in school. Because they're not going to stay there. Think about them as church leaders and so on. Give the future your immediate attention. On the other hand, diligence tomorrow does not take care of negligence today. Okay? So you can't say, "Well, next year we'll..." or, you know, "Once they're a little older, then I'll talk to them," or something like that. We need diligence today. I have to be willing to go far beyond the second mile to make things happen today. Your splendid vision and goals must have a practical, measurable outworking each day. School culture, that has to be part of your vision. If your students are coming to school and they're kind of hating it, they just don't really like it. I mean, we know that everybody has this, or not everybody, but every school has this somewhat of a nebulous feeling that, school, you know, it's not, you don't want to be too excited about school. That can be there, but really down in, they should love to come to school. If they do not, that is your job to figure out what to do about that. Because if your students do not love to come to school, you're not going to get very far with them. And that is part of your culture shapes that. What are you doing about it? You're not the sole creator of culture. That's everybody helps create culture together. But it is your responsibility to measure the culture, measure the atmosphere, and say, what should we do about it? Invest in your staff. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2. "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." This might feel like a little bit of a weird verse to have here because our teachers don't seem to be strangers. But sometimes teachers seem to be a stranger for the job. You get a new teacher in and they just don't seem to have what it takes. And they're really a stranger for the position that they have. Love them, work with them, empower them, sacrifice for them. I mean, they are your team and you need them. You will get nowhere without them. I remember a teacher that I had, and he didn't do a very good job the first year. And so the board come to me and said, "Well, how do you feel about so-and-so? And how he's doing. Should we ask him back for next year or shouldn't we?" And I had seen something in him that I believed in him, but I had to agree that he didn't do a very good job. And with the circumstances, we weren't able to help him out much. He was kind of just in there and had to rough it. And so I encouraged the board, I think if we can stand around him and help him, and give him another year, I think he'll go a long way. And that's what we did. And he is, today he's still teaching, not at our school, another school. But he is definitely an angel in the eyes of his students and in the eyes of the parents that he's working with. And he does an excellent job in a lot of ways, far exceeds me. But if we're willing to actually invest in them, and do more than just say, "Well, how was your day?" You know, but give them opportunities, give them critique, and help them in love. You know, they can go a long ways and learn a lot. Build on the strengths of your staff. As you think about what do you want each individual to be doing and so on, build on their strengths. Everybody's good at something and not so good at another thing. Okay. And when we're trying to struggle along in those things we're not very good at, we have a frustration level that keeps rising and rising and rising. And when your staff are working at a frustration level because it's just not what they're great at, we have more frustrations to work with and deal with. And so do what you can to assign responsibilities and to shuffle your staff to be doing things that they love. That will catch on to the students and to the rest of the school, and that will help build that culture. Organize occasions for professional and personal development for your staff. Help them go someplace or listen to something to learn. And mostly just maintain a posture of service for your staff. If they see you willing to kick back and do something for them at a late night or on a Saturday or in the middle of everything else that you're doing, and you're willing to serve them, they will go a long way. I've many times spent all afternoon working with staff on what to do about a certain situation, and then the next day going to my classes and just winging them because I didn't have any time to prepare. If your students know that you normally give them your best, they're very forgiving. And you have sent a mega message to your teachers that you care about them and how well they're doing. Accept the responsibilities and accusations that rest upon your shoulder. Remember Harry S. Truman in his statement, "The buck stops here." It may not have been your fault, but it's part of your responsibility to help find a solution for the problem. And so don't pass on the blame, even if it was not your fault. If it was your fault, most definitely do something about it. Say, hey, we messed up here. I'm sorry. I didn't do the right thing. And I'm going to work on getting the right thing in place here. Because they'll be very forgiving. You are the person responsible to get the thing corrected. And then remember that the best way to disprove a lie is to live the truth. Going out trying to tell people what the situation really was or what really happened isn't going to make anything good. Most people, there's some people that will believe strange things and won't give a little bit of salt with the whatever they hear. But most people will be very forgiving if we're simply willing to just live and live out what we believe is right. And remember that when our conversation, when the way we do things is without covetousness, when I'm doing it for the good of the people, for the good of the school, I don't have to worry what people will say or do. I can just live. And I can live with joy because I'm doing it for them. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, you are under him, through the blood of the everlasting covenant make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Christ, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. When we have a focus like that, their souls will live on. God is the shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd of their souls. And you're working under him to help direct these students, and their souls will live forever. And we give God the glory while we're doing that. He gives us the power to do whatever we need. We don't need to fear what man may do. A couple of resources that I have found very helpful in my work as a principal. My Utmost for His Highest is a devotional book by Dr. Oswald Chambers. It's not the 11 points of being a great administrator or something like that. But it's simply a devotional book that pushed me beyond what I wanted to give up sometimes. And it was very good for me to read that devotional book. He's an excellent writer, deep thought, by Dr. Oswald Chambers. The docforlearning.org, you can find business cards down there. Excellent resource, an excellent place to give what you have come up with to help other people, and so on. And then also the Anabaptist School Administrator Google Group, that Clayton Schenck put together. He's from Tidings of Peace School. If you want to join that, just contact him. I have his email address there. Just tell him I want to be on the Google group. There's a lot of action on there. If you have a question, just put your question out, say, hey, has anybody else run into this situation? I have this and this and this. And you'll get feedback. There's very rarely that there is not some sort of response posted pretty shortly, for sure by the next day. And so there's a lot of feedback on there if you have a question. Or you can simply just, you'll get these emails coming in and you'll see, oh, somebody else is dealing with this. And so then you just wait for the response and you didn't even have to ask the question. You get the answer right in your lap. So those are some resources I've found. Any questions that someone may have? Okay, I think with that I will dismiss you. Enjoy your job. It's a good work, and the Lord is with you. Live and do without covetousness.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.